Hello, thanks for listening. All the music featured in the BBC series Top of the Pops Playback and the Radio Luxembourg years has been faded out for podcast copyright reasons. However, the full versions of these programmes can be found on the Sean Tilley Archive Mixcloud channel. Hello, I'm Sean Tilley, and this is Top of the Pops Playback. Now, during the next hour, we'll be remembering a vintage edition of the world's most famous chart show with the help of one of the stars from that particular programme, and we'll be playing some of the big hit songs to feature in it, which at that time were Top of the Pops. Right, on this occasion, we are whizzing all the way back to the 1st of March 1990, now appearing very high up on the chart for that week. I think it's only fair to say, with Beats International, I am so chuffed to see, once again, after all these years, Lindy Layton.
Hello.
Lindy, how lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too.
God, we're going back a fair few years here, aren't we?
I know, I've really got to kind of blow some cobwebs away in my brain when you mention some of these things, I'm sure.
Well, look, first on this edition of Top of the Pop, somebody you do remember in the studio, it was only Shakin' Stevens.
How can you forget?
He was at number 29 on the chart, and this single of his was I Might. Playback, it's the 1st of March 1990 all over again, and Shakin' Stevens up to number 29 on the chart with I Might. Lindy Layton bouncing around in the studio.
I like that, up to number 29.
Yes, he was up to number 29. That was his 29th UK top 40 hit.
Yeah, it seems that some kind of Elvis impersonation always seems to work for people, for fellas.
And all that
it?
Denim as well.
You should do it. Yeah, and copious amounts of black shoe dye on the head.
Is that what you remember when he was at
yeah,
top of the Pops?
I remember a bit of a hairline looking a little bit wayward. Thinking, is that normal?
So you started in the entertainment industry at a very young age, didn't you?
I went to stage school, yeah.
So when did you start to think about a career in music?
Well, I was always into singing, and I was also into DJing, and I listened to a lot of hip-hop and stuff, and I was into... I had some friends out of school who went to Beastie Boys gigs and Run DMC and stuff like that, and I was more obsessed with the DJing thing. So I don't know. I think, like, my mum always used to say that kind of career finds you. You know, you do what you love, and then it just comes your way. And my obsession was learning to DJ, and my music thing just came from that. You know, that's what I did with my mates.
I better be good on this show then, because we've got a professional in here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but not with the talking bit. They give me mics, and I'm not too good with a mic. It's like, yeah.
Well, look, she's going to mix us now. Look, she's going to mash it up between Shakin' Stevens and Rod Stewart.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this was a climber at number 10. This was Downtown Train. And it's memories of the 1st of March 1990 with Lindy Layton from Beats International, who joins us this time around. Rod Stewart, he was on video, he wasn't in the studio.
Oh,
climbing up to number 10 with Downtown Train. You'd have probably remembered Rod being there if he was there.
Yes, no, yeah. No, I've never seen Rod Stewart in the flesh.
His album, The Best Of, was still doing pretty well at this time, and that was his first top 10 single for 4 years. So tell us about the time that you met Norman Cook for the first time. Was this in a nightclub in Brighton? Somewhere.
No, I didn't meet him in a club. I used to buy tunes. I used to go into the West End and buy records from like age of 14, and I remember having a white label of a tune that I used to mix with and listen to, and a friend of mine, one of the boys that I knew, just hooked it together with Norman, and I was like, you're kidding me. He's like the uncoolest band,
the House Martins. Yeah,
I mean, what's he doing making beats like that? So I told my manager at the time, I was in a sort of very suspicious looking girl band at the time, and I said to my manager, I'm just not digging this, it's not really me, but I like this. And I played him this track, and he said, oh, I know his publisher, Phil, and we'll give him a call and see if he's around. Maybe you could, don't know, see what happens. And he called this guy, and Norman happened to be in the area that day. So I just literally went and met him at his publishing company there's a girl that wants to meet you. And Norman was kind of going, making a big change, you know, from the house Martins. He wanted to do his own thing. So he was really open to, and it was a really interesting time for dance music, because it wasn't it hadn't really kind of exploded, you know. It was a kind of this a little underground thing, and Norman wanted a little bit of it, and he was into his DJing and his niching. And Norman, people don't realize what an amazing, with cutting and scratching and stuff, Norman is a really good DJ.
Now here's a record you'll remember. It was a video for this, a new entry at number 31. We're gonna chill right back now with Innocence.
Lovely.
And Natural Thing. Playback here at the BBC, rewinding to the 1st of March 1990. This is Sean Tilley with my studio guest this time around, Lindy Layton of Beat International. Their song is coming soon, but not yet. That was the first of six top 40 hits for Innocence. Top 40 breaker on video, new entry at number 31, Natural Thing, which went on to peak at number 16. So your very first edition of Top of the Pops, Lindy, on the 8th of February 1990. What sticks in your memory about it?
I remember Sinead O'Connor being number one.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that who we knocked off?
It was. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Because she was there.
Nothing compares to you.
She came off stage, and I was standing there waiting to go on. I mean, I wasn't a stranger to the BBC anyway, so it wasn't like that was a strange thing. But this beautiful woman came towards me with these eyes that I'd never, and to this day, I've never seen anything like her. Did you meet Sinead O'Connor?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Her eyes, man.
Piercing.
Unbelievable.
Like swimming pools.
Oh my God. So she came walking towards me and she said, "You'll be next." And I just went,
gone. There are a couple of ways to take that, aren't there?
I know. "You'll be next." But I just thought, yeah, I didn't really know what she meant by that.
What about from your family's point of view? Because it was an iconic TV show. To see you on Top of the Pops must have been thrilling for them as well.
They're quite cool, my parents. I think they were just a bit like, oh, they were probably showing off.
Our Lindy's
friends
on Top of the Pops next week. Yeah. No big deal. Oh. Hey, on that first Top of the Pops, by the way, Phil Collins. Mm. Now, there's a connection between you two, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, that's my godmother's brother.
Yeah. Phil was on the same show.
Yeah, but I don't remember him being.
It's rare, isn't it, Phil Collins doing a Top of the Pops? Also, doing their version of Instant Replay were a group called, a duo called Yell.
Hilarious. That's Paul, who was the Milky Bar kid from my class at school.
It's a small world, isn't it?
It's such a small world. But what a weird setup that was. So it was Instant Replay.
Well, it didn't last very long, did it? I think it was one single and they were out. And Delamitri were the other band who were in the studio at that time as well.
I think that's quite forgettable for me.
Now, 1st of March 1990, you're a little bit higher up the chart. Next on video, Mark Almond, who had a number one a year or so earlier with Gene Pitney doing Something's Gotten a Hold of My Heart. This record was a new entry at number 32. This is A Lover Spurned.
Cool.
And as I say that, there is this blank expression on Lindy Layton's face.
Yeah, as in, that's not a memorable one, is it?
Let's have a listen to it and see if the memories come flooding back. Lindy Layton from Beats International is with me, and we're remembering Top of the Pops on the 1st of March 1990. Hello, it's Sean Tilley here, and that was Mark Almond, who had a new entry at number 32 on the chart with A Lover Spurned. Well, he wasn't in the studio. It was on video anyway.
Mm-mm.
Now, before we get around to the next act, who you didn't do this Top of the Pops in the studio with, because it was on video, but you did do Top of the Pops further down the line when the next single came out. It's the B-52s. But before we talk about that, obviously, there was a follow-up. It was called I Won't Talk About It.
Mm.
And it was also another top 10 record.
Mm.
It got to number 9, which saw you back on Top of the Pops on the 24th of May, 1990. Mm. So the B-52s were on that show doing Rome, which was the follow-up to the song that I'm about to introduce. On Vogue were in the studio at that time as well.
So cool.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was like, amazing.
So by the time you're doing Won't Talk About It on Top of the Pops, you're probably thinking to yourself after the success of the first single, oh, this is how it is now.
I know. Yes, that's it. You've got to kind of think quickly. But we were really on the go. you know.
Because I was doing a lot of gigs with you at this time as well, because you were everywhere, up and down the country. Mm. What about your image at that time? Whose decision was that? Did you have much say in that? Because you were quite tomboyish, if you don't mind me saying.
I was beyond tomboyish. I was all about the baseball caps, the trainers, and
the shell suit.
Never. Well, shell suit. However, when we did so much travelling, I ended up, I was trying to work out the best thing to wear to go on these long-haul flights. And shell, I can't believe I'm saying this, but shell suits, yeah, they were big in the beginning of the 90s, weren't they? And I did have, not a shell suit, I really will stress that, but I did have some kind of plasticky trousers that I thought I would wear on a flight, and man, plastic trousers on a flight to Tokyo, 18 hours.
I think it's lovely that you've got the plastic trousers on today as well, doing the whole retro thing.
You know, I'm all right just for the day. But
at least you can still get in yours. Right, so we have a listen to the B-52's record then.
Yeah.
This was a new entry at number 33. It was Love Shack. Wherever you went in 1990, you could not escape this record.
You still can't, really.
The B-52s and Love Shack, and that was a new entry at number 33, Top of the Pops, on the 1st of March 1990 with Lindy Layton from Beat International. So you did another Top of the Pops with them. When you were doing Won't Talk About It, they were doing Rome, which was the follow-up to Love Shack. And I bet even you in your DJ days has played that as part of a party set at Love Shack.
A lot of people ask for it. People love that tune. I never digged it. I never really got that kind of quirky, you know, sort of thing. It didn't do it for me.
It's amazing, really, because they've been having hits in the UK for 11 years, even then.
I know.
But that was by far their biggest hit, and it very, very nearly got to number one. It peaked at number two. Have a guess what the record was that prevented it from getting... Well, there were two records that prevented it from getting to number one.
It's nothing to do with Snap the Power.
Yes, it was.
Do you know what? I really would never have known that, but all I know is that just trampled over everything.
Well, it knocked you guys off number one.
Yeah.
And also, the other record that prevented the B-52s from getting to number one was some group called Beats International with Dub Be Good to Me. So it was you for the first week and then Snap after that.
Okay, yeah, I remember someone playing me that in the back of a car with a really good stereo, just thinking...
I guess around about the time that Won't Talk About It was in the chart, Norman was saying to you, well, you know, it's about time we put you out there on your own now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I was just getting lots of offers, lots of attention, lots of ideas, and I just kind of went with it, really. It's all, you know, you listen to people and you trust people and, you know, you make these decisions. And there were points where I just didn't really get any of it. You know, I'd have record covers put in front of me and I'd just burst out crying. But I didn't know why, because I don't like it. It's not right. Mm. And then people would hire in stylists for me and, you know, and I'd get all confused. And, you know, I think in hindsight, if I'd have just been left to my own devices, I'd probably be a lot happier with what I did.
Nonetheless, there was a top 40 single around the corner, which we'll talk about after this, which was a new entry at number 34. It was David A. Stewart, he of the Eurythmics, and Candy Dulfer.
Weird.
Lily was here. Do you remember this from the film soundtrack?
No, I don't.
Of the same name. I bet you all when we have a listen to
Go on,
it.
Then.
There we are. You see, she does remember it. She even was doing the air saxophone listening to that. Lindy Layton of Beats International on the 1st of March 1990, listening to Candy Dulfer helping out David A. Stewart. Lily was here. That was a new entry at number 34. Not in the studio, it was on video, and it was from the soundtrack of the film of the same name. So, we were talking about you going solo. Another Top of the Pops appearance on the 23rd of August 1990, doing Silly Games. Whose decision was it? Hey, she can still do it, say, hey?
Well, it was mine, because I just had a real thing about that song, you know.
Lovely song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. So I just sort of just trying it out. And then when the record company said they liked it, I said, well, I don't want to do it unless I speak to Janet Kay about it and to see if she would be into it and performing on it with me. And she did. So she came and did that on the Top of the Pops with me.
And which is amazing because 11 years earlier, she'd appeared on Top of the Pops performing the record herself.
I know.
And it was one of the great number twos. It never quite made it to number one. She got to number two with it. And of course, it was her only hit as well.
Yeah.
So that must have been incredible doing Top of the Pops with her.
Yeah, it was. It's very special. Really,
and she
special.
Loved your version, didn't
she? Yeah, she did. She really did.
Was it very different doing Top of the Pops as a solo artist?
It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Because I didn't know myself yet as an artist. All I was trying to do was kind of join in with the boys, you know. And then once I was in with the boys, I didn't know what to do.
Now, this is somebody who was in a Top of the Pops studio with you twice. Not only on this occasion, but further down the line, he did How Can We Be Lovers when you were doing Won't Talk About It. But on this occasion, when you were doing that record, Michael Bolton was in the studio with this at number three on the chart. It was How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? Now, this is a very sad song, Lindy Layton, so handkerchief at the ready, please.
Okay.
This from the BBC is Top of the Pops Playback, in which we showcase classic editions of the world's most famous chart show. And during this hour, we're rewinding to the 1st of March 1990 with Lindy Layton of Beats International. Their record is still to come. And that was Michael Bolton's chart climber at number three, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? And you don't exactly have positive memories of being in the Top of the Pops studio with Michael, do you?
Yeah, I think I was very confused by that one.
A lot of hair.
A lot.
He had more hair than you back in those days, although we couldn't really see yours because it was underneath the baseball
caps. Yeah. No, Michael, this is a tricky one, isn't it? I think that's just that's a million miles away from me.
And he had the Soul Provider album, which was doing very well at that time as well. So, 1993, back inside the top 40, We Got the Love. PWL.
Ah, yes.
The Stott Aitken and Waterman Boys.
That was the kind of time that I needed. But at the same time, what a peculiar label to be on. What I would really have liked to have just been on some white label and nobody had known it was me, you know. I think I never really got... I never really liked the attention. I was never comfortable with that and the image and everything. You know, I'd rather just, like, when I DJ now, I DJ every weekend, but people ask me my name,
really?
It's Lucy. Yeah, I don't
She's
know.
Shedding the limelight.
It freaks me out.
Hey, well, listen, in that case, we're very, very glad that you've joined us for almost the last hour. We are one song away from finding out who number one was on the 1st of March 1990. I have no idea who on earth could have been number one. First, it's this record that was a new entry at number 22, JT and the Big Family. This was a great track. This is Moments in Soul. It's the 1st of March 1990, all over again on our Top of the Pops Playback with Lindy Layton from Beats International. Having you listen to that, JT and the Big Family, new entry at number 22 on the chart, Moments in Soul. That was the one and only UK hit that they had, an Italian trio, and it got to number 7. So we've arrived at that big number one. It must have been a great thrill, and obviously being number one on Top of the Pops as well, being walking around for 4 weeks as the number one artist in the UK.
I was racked with embarrassment.
Really?
Yeah, I was really uncomfortable with it.
That's astounding.
I was so embarrassed.
But obviously, because we've had a chat during this programme, I understand why now.
Oh, bless you.
But isn't that incredible? There you are, walking around for 4 weeks, a whole month as the number one artist.
Norman's wife, because obviously Norman was quite a face in Brighton, and I'd be walking around Brighton, and I'd say to his wife, me and her used to hang out, Pip, and I'd be like, I'm just going to pop in here, and I go in a hairdresser's. It's coming back to me now. And I just said, can you just cut my hair? Can you just dye my hair? And I'd just be trying to, like, do something different, so I looked different. I didn't want to be that... It's like therapy, isn't it, Amy?
It's unbelievable. I mean, the record came in at 15. That was when you did your first Top of the Pops. Went up to number 3, then number 2, then number 1 for 4 weeks. And obviously, it was a mashup between the SOS bands, Just Be Good to Me.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I was a huge fan of The Clash, Guns of Brixton.
Yeah.
When you listen to this song, what are your memories?
Good ones, I would hope. Yeah, of course. I don't know where I was, but I remember putting the radio on because Norman had said that it was that Pete Tong was going to play it. And at the time, if Pete Tong said something was cool, it was cool, man.
So. I don't think anything can beat that, can it? The first time that you hear your record on the radio.
And I listened to it and I thought, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything about it was cool. And I was hearing things in the track that I hadn't heard before, you know.
Is there anything different about turning up at Top of the Pops as the number one group as opposed to the first time you did?
No, I think for me, it was a little bit nerve-wracking because you think, if you're number one, there's only one place to go. Mm. And I was never that comfortable with that because I just thought, well, it's obviously, you know, then if there's only one way, you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean.
So I was never like, yeah, I'm king of the castle or anything like that. It was scary. And there was a lot of, you know, there was Soul to Soul. There was a lot of super cool things happening at the time. And, you know, it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And you'd replaced such an iconic 90s song in Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And it was Snap who would eventually replace you with The Power as well.
It was tough, that track.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty unique at the time. Mm. But 1st of March 1990, looking back, special times, eh, Lindy Layton?
Exhausting times.
Well, listen, it's so good to see you after all these years.
Thank you
very much for coming in and sharing the memories. Mm. And before we have a listen to it, it's a complete top 10 rundown for the 1st of March 1990. And with that, say Lindy Layton, thanks for guesting on Top of the Pops Playback.
Thank you for having me. It's been like therapy. It really has.
So advancing at number 10, Rod Stewart, Downtown Train. Huge climb up to number 9, Infinity Guru Josh. New entry at 8, Elephant Stone, The Stone Roses. The highest new entry was The Brits 1990. Various artists at number 7, Holly at 6, Depeche Mode, and Enjoy the Silence. Falling at 5, Black Box, I Don't Know Anybody Else, and slipping at number 4, Get Up Before the Night Is Over. That was Technotronic, and here's the top 3. Up to number 3, Michael Bolton, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You. Down from number 1 at 2, Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor. And that meant Top of the Pops for the very first week was my guest Lindy Layton with Beats International and Dub Be Good to Me. Flat Box, Walk Jam, Nitty Gritty, you're listening to the boy from the big bad city. This is Jam.